بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديث number 72. This hadith tells us and explains to us where an individual should stand when praying with another person. In the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, we learned that if they were two or more, they should constitute a row. But what about if it's an individual? Hadith 73, hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, tells us what to do. Who will read this for us, inshallah?
Narrated Ibn Abbas, once I passed the night in the house of my aunt Maimuna, the Prophet stood for the night prayer, and I joined him, and stood on his left side, but he drew me to his right by holding me by the head. Al-Bukhari.
Okay, then the hadith is quite clear. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, spent the night purposely at the house of his aunt, and he pretended to be asleep. It's a longer version. And the author took only the portion that is required. But the longer version goes to say that he spent the night to watch how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray night prayer. And this shows you that a student of knowledge acquires knowledge through any means possible and does not wait until knowledge comes to him. He goes in pursuit for that knowledge. And that is why Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he used to travel from Mecca to Medina to here and there, following the companions of the Prophet ﷺ to learn from them. And in one incident, it was stated, I'm not sure if the Sahabi is Zayd ibn Thabit or Jabir ibn Abdullah, I forgot. But he went to his house and he was told that he was asleep. So he took his cloak, rolled it, used it as a pillow, and slept at the doorsteps of the house. When it was time for Asr, the companion came out of his house and found Abdullah ibn Abbas sleeping at his doorsteps. So he said, may Allah have mercy and forgiveness over you, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Wouldn't you have woken me up? He said, no, we were instructed to do this with our scholars. Now, who's saying this? The cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet and scholars of Islam. Yet he was junior to the other companions because they were all older than he was. And that is why he was respectful to them and getting the knowledge. One of the people of Medina says, he says, Abdullah ibn Abbas is much smarter than me. And his companions told him, why? He said, when we were young, in our teens, he said to me, don't you see that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ are so many? Why not go and learn from them? And then I looked at him and said, Ibn Abbas, do you think that the people one day will need you and me? Why should we learn? The companions are so many. He says, so he left me, and 10, 20 years later, look what had happened. Ibn Abbas is one of the greatest scholars of Islam, a great companion of the Prophet. All the people go for him for fatwa and for knowledge. And look at me, I'm your regular guy. So this shows you, if you have a target, and the target is sincere for the sake of Allah, when you're young, when you're strong, when you don't have anything to occupy your time or engage you with, then you have potentials. With the grace of Allah, you will go places. You will become a scholar, you will become an imam, you will become a point of reference to people. But if you don't, if you neglect and say, no, I would like to focus on my studies in this and in that, I would like to go and play football, I would like to spend some time reading comic books or Harry Potter or whatever, then you will find that the people have advanced and left you way ahead of you, and it's very difficult for you to catch up. And this is what makes a person a potential scholar, a potential leader, an imam, and any normal human being. There is a difference. You can tell by the energy and the enthusiasm in acquiring knowledge, in occupying his time or your time in something that is useful. Ibn Abbas, look what he used to do when he was young. Spend the night, instead of going to play football or have fun with the kids, spend the night so that he can observe. And he did not tell the Prophet ﷺ. He pretended to be asleep. So he saw the Prophet when he performed wudu, when he slept, when he woke up in the middle of the night and he made wudu again, and he recited the last 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to the rest of the ayahs, and then he started to pray. Once he started to pray, he jumped and stood to the left of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet corrected him by holding his head and bringing him to his right-hand side. And from this we learn where a man should stand next to another if they're praying in jama'ah. The imam to the left and the ma'moom to the right. Now, should there be a gap between them? Should the imam be a little bit forward? Some scholars said yes. But the most authentic opinion is that there is no evidence. They should stand shoulder to shoulder. Of course, the imam should be a little bit in line or a little bit ahead. But never the ma'moom should be ahead of his imam. And from this hadith also, we learn that the difference of niyyah does not affect the prayer in case of the imam and the ma'moom. How is that? The Prophet started the prayer as what? As munfarid, as an individual. And in the middle of the prayer, he changed it from individual into congregation. So this is permissible. Why do I say this? Because a lot of the Muslims get cold feet and they freeze. When they pray sunnah after dhuhr, for example, and someone who did not pray dhuhr come and stand next to them and tap them on the shoulder saying, I'm praying with you, you're my imam. Or if three or four come behind him and they tap him lightly so that he would be their imam. A lot of the Muslims, what do? They freeze. I'm imam. How can I tell them that I'm praying sunnah? You don't have to. Okay, should I change my niyyah into dhuhr? But I prayed dhuhr. Okay, initially I'm going to pray two rak'ahs. Should I change it and pray four rak'ahs? Don't change anything. You praying two rak'ahs as sunnah, continue praying two rak'ahs as sunnah. And once you finish, offer salam, and they will complete their prayer. So you can change your intention from individual into an imam. You can also change your intention from an imam to a ma'moom, a follower, as we will get to know this inshallah. And there is nothing wrong in that.
Suppose the person, the imam, he breaks wind while he's offering salah, then one of the muqtadi, he can go ahead.
Very good. If the imam nullifies his prayer or something happens to him, the man who was praying behind him, who was a follower, a ma'moom, now turns to be an imam. Also, there is a case, but we will come to know this later on. If the imam comes, if they call for the prayer and a substitute leads the prayer, the first rak'ah, and all of a sudden, while they were in the middle of the first rak'ah, the imam comes. What does the imam do? He instructs the person leading the prayer to go, and he leads the prayer. And we will get to know this, inshallah, later on. So, in short, you do not have to have the intention to be an imam when you begin a prayer. You can shift, and you can pray according to what you need, as long as you are praying with a niyyah and the ma'moom or the follower is praying with a different niyyah, this is okay. What's not okay is for you to change your niyyah from voluntary into fard, for example. This is not permissible. But what is the ruling on if I was praying two rak'ahs sunnah of maghrib And the people came to pray behind me, who were late and could not pray, came to pray with me Maghrib prayer. Should I raise my voice or keep it as it is? Now I'm leading, but I'm praying my two sunnah. So what do you think? Those who say, I must continue my prayer silently, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Those who say that I may raise my voice as if I'm praying Fajr or Maghrib, raise your hands. And they are the majority and they are the right ones to say. Let's give you a rule of thumb. What is the ruling on raising the voice in loud prayers and keeping my voice down in silent prayers? Is it wajib or sunnah? Meaning, in Maghrib prayer, what is the ruling on me saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen loudly? Is it wajib or sunnah? Wajib. Those who say wajib are wrong. It is sunnah. Meaning that if I go to Maghrib or Isha or Fajr and I say Allahu Akbar and I do not raise my voice, people say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, I continue my prayer is valid. And the other way around, if I pray Dhuhr and I start to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen and people say Subhanallah and I continue reading it loudly, this is permissible and the prayer is right, but I am not doing the sunnah. And we will get to know this inshallah later on. We have a short break, so stay tuned.